Hello and welcome to episode 1 of the Simply Commercial podcast series. My name's Alex and I'm the founder of this podcast and your host for today. This podcast focuses on the high street of the UK, or at least what is left of it. I'll start by taking a look back over the last decade to see how today's climate has been allowed to happen. I'll then take you through the Arcadia and Debenhams collapses and consider if and how the high street can recover. To begin, let's go back and see where the issue all started. For many people, the so-called death of the British High Street began when Woolworths collapsed during the winter of 2008, which was almost 12 years ago exactly. Beyond the loss of arguably the greatest pick and mix to grace the UK, all 807 stores along with 27,000 jobs disappeared within just over a week. The sheer speed at which the company disappeared rang alarm bells for many critics of the High Street model. However, the advocates of the High Street remained optimistic and tried to continue to trade their way through a generational trend towards the online marketplace that we know today. Not long after Woolworths came Blockbuster, which disappeared in late 2010. In today's society, the younger generation may not even heard of Blockbuster, but put simply, it was Netflix in a shop on the High Street. And on that topic, the rise of technological, innovative companies such as Netflix signal the end for those who didn't want to adapt to the times. Blockbuster was the sacrifice which allowed Netflix to flourish into the cultural, societal, and trend-dictating streaming platform we use currently. As you can see, and the point I'm trying to make is that the failing high street of today didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen since COVID-19 struck the economy earlier this year. It has been building over the last decade. It is the culmination of a variety of factors, the root of which is the attitudes of us, the consumers. You are sat listening to me talk about the dying high street on a streaming platform rather than reading a newspaper. And I, the provider, adhere to my audience and give them what they demand. This is the demand-supply ultimatum, and it is this that is at the forefront of the revolution of the high street. We live in a world where at the touch of our fingertips, products from China, the USA, or even domestically within the UK can be delivered to our doorsteps within days. So the question is, why would we ever go down to our local high street? This is the dilemma facing companies all around the UK. Without consumer footfall on the high streets, the rent and employee wages become simply wasted costs. Companies such as ASOS pioneered the online retail marketplace to reduce these overheads, and as we order our Christmas gifts in some form of restricted society in lockdown, it will be no surprise to see the shares and profitability of these companies flourish, and the destiny of the high street firms wither. Earlier this year, Forbes announced that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos became the first man in history to amass a net worth of over $200 billion. It's important to note that net worth isn't the amount Mr. Bezos has available as liquid funds in his bank account, it is the total value of all of his assets, such as his shareholdings in Amazon, minus all of his liabilities. But even so, to contextualise his net worth, if he were to spend $1 million per day, it would take roughly 500 years for him to eradicate his net worth. The point in all this being that the e-commerce marketplace is huge, and the birth of the millennial culture set this trend on course, and its staggering exponential growth has had side effects, the main of which being the demise of physical stores and high streets. With the high street versus e-commerce ultimatum in mind, let's take a look at the current climate of our high street. In the last week alone, two major high street names have been on the brink of collapse, those being the Arcadia Group, most likely to be known for its shareholding in companies such as Topshop, Topman and Miss Selfridge, and also Debenhams, which needs no introduction. Both companies have experienced turbulent periods during COVID-19, and you'd be surprised to learn that their current issues are, in some ways, interlinked. Let's start with the Arcadia Group, headed by controversial businessman Sir Philip Green, which collapsed into administration only a couple of days ago. Administrators from one of the big four accountancy firms, Deloitte, were appointed to proceed with the group's administration. The current plan of the administrators is to look for a purchaser to salvage the business and help it return to economic stability. There's no questioning the fact that the brand names within the group have asset value, and the restructuring of the business operations of those brands will no doubt be required upon any successful rescue attempt. However, the main question is, who would invest? As I already mentioned, e-commerce companies like ASOS, Boohoo and alike have streamlined their operations to perform efficiently without physical retail outlets. Those so-called fast fashion companies have redesigned the business model from top to bottom, with no physical stores and marketing through celebrity endorsement, which is a clear attempt to focus on their younger millennial audiences, which has obviously been successful. Arcadia find themselves in retail no man's land, their product pricing being undercut by the likes of Primark and H&M, and their online presence being drowned out by ASOS and Boohoo. With this in mind, you begin to question, why do the subsidiaries within Arcadia need rescuing, and is a potential investor just going to be acquiring collateral damage? It's clear that if a rescue attempt is successful, the investor will have a major task to transform the fortunes of the failing business model. Let's now move on and consider Debenhams. Again, the news about Debenhams reached the public within days of me recording this podcast, so it is very hot off the press. For some context, Debenhams was founded in 1778, over 240 years ago, and it seems like the last few months could have been its final bow. This collapse will arguably resonate with society more than most. It has the potential to be a real pivotal moment and hammer home the dire terrain under which our high streets rest upon. The news reaching us today stated that Debenhams would be wound down after the search for a potential suitor or purchaser came to no avail. It is a sad moment for the retail sector. Debenhams is seen as a British retail giant, and having tackled administration in 2019 and earlier this year, its struggling battles seem to have finally come to an end. The news about the winding down of the company puts over 12,000 jobs at risk, as the company aims to sell off its stock at discount prices to try and return some of the debt. Over 1 million people joined a virtual queue to try and take advantage of the deals, causing the website to crash. And this is the whole point. Would those same 1 million people have travelled to their local Debenhams for the same deals? The majority might have, but not all of them. And it is this online marketplace where the true value and growth is within the retail sector. I mentioned earlier that the Arcadia and Debenhams situations are linked, and here is why. JD Sports, the retail giant, were in talks to purchase and rescue Debenhams. However, having heard the news about the Arcadia collapse, who are a main supplier to Debenhams, the company pulled out of the negotiations. The mere mention of JD Sports pulling out of the deal led to a 6% share price rise in JD Sports PLC. It's crazy to think that mere association with a British retail giant such as Debenhams can cause stock fluctuation in an adverse sense. But it serves as an illustration of the world where we currently live in. Without a credible purchaser, Debenhams may have its assets stripped and could become another of those companies we look back on and wonder how it managed to happen. Within the last few days, Bon Marché also announced it had collapsed into administration once again, threatening over 1,500 jobs. In a way, this was unsurprising. Its parent company, Peacocks, entered into administration a few days prior, and you begin to see the pattern here. It's clear that news and administration is now common and expected within the retail sector, and what we see at the moment is simply a microcosm of what may unearth in the coming months as the true impact of the pandemic is revealed. You might now be thinking, and I may have led you down the path to conclude we should demolish all of our high streets and shop online forevermore. But there is one important consideration at the heart of this debate we haven't really mentioned. Employees. Our economy is cyclical. That means our income as citizens is for the vast majority funded by wages, which are paid by companies. Those companies acquire that money by selling products and services to us as consumers. Therefore, if the household income were suddenly to drop domestically, we have less liquid funds to purchase consumer products and in turn, business suffer. Therefore, if the high street disappears, so do the jobs and the livelihoods of thousands of employees. The demise of Arcadia and Debenhams today isn't simply an economic devastation, it's a personal and societal one. As business enthusiasts, if you want to call yourself that, we tend to focus on money, the economy, share prices and all these other financial orientated buzzwords. But we never think about the people behind a business, as without its employees, there aren't many businesses that would survive any climate. Only yesterday, in the House of Commons, Shadow Secretary of State for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, Ed Miliband, raised questions of the Conservative government in light of the Arcadia and Debenhams collapses. He particularly pressed on matters involving what the government will do to support the affected employees, and raised his criticisms of Arcadia boss Sir Philip Green. The criticism relates to Mr. Green paying his family a dividend from Arcadia of £1.2 billion back in 2005 when the company was soaring. That amount is now nearly four times as much as the pension deficit of the group in 2020. Mr. Miliband called on Mr. Green to do the right thing and fund this pension deficit. After criticism of his antics in relation to a previous company, BHS, where again there was another pension deficit, Mr. Green contributed £363 million to the pension deficit of BHS. Whether he does the same in regard to the deficit of Arcadia remains to be seen. Criticism of Mr. Green can also be seen in relation to the company's structure. The majority shareholder of Arcadia is Tevata Investments, which you will find to be owned by Mr. Green's wife, Christina. This investment company is registered via Jersey, as Mrs. Green is resident as the shareholder in Monaco, an agreement between the couple to minimise their UK taxation liability. Although it may in the strict sense be legal, it begs the question whether morally it is the correct thing to do. We have seen the government paying employees' wages through the furlough system during the pandemic, which is indirectly funded by the taxpayer. Arguably, large corporations avoiding tax goes against the very premise of the furlough scheme, which is designed to help them. But corporation taxation is a topic for another episode. So again, we can see the political side of the high street battle, both on the political battleground in the Commons and the social battleground, and what is morally correct to do in the circumstances. Amidst all of this uncertainty and ambiguity remains the question, what are the options for the high street? We have seen the landlord eviction moratorium within the UK, and also the extension of the furlough scheme during the pandemic. However, there are some other devices which may be useful moving forwards. You may have heard of the term CVAs floating around the commercial sphere. CVA stands for Company Voluntary Arrangement. In a simple sense, it is an arrangement between a creditor and a company to allow for the repayment of debts over a period of time, enabling the struggling company to continue trading in the interim. These CVAs have been used frequently, and in the last few days, British formal wear brand Moss Brothers announced their CVA proposal following a difficult financial year. There is no doubt CVAs will be important moving forward, but what is more important is our consumer trends. One of two things must happen. Either we, as consumers, get back onto the high street, or the high street adapts and comes to us via the e-commerce industry. There is, however, another debate I'd like to put into the mix. Personally, if I were to go shopping, I would head to my local shopping centre or mall, where within a small area, I can find a concentrated street of designer shops and food outlets. It may therefore be that the high street model is simply evolving. We no longer walk down to a local high street, but instead travel to our nearest shopping centre in the city. Primark serves as a prime example, pardon the pun, of a store which doesn't have an online presence, but its physical positioning in shopping centres around the country enable it to be profitable. It also delivers on the bargains that we as consumers strive for, as we've already seen with the virtual frenzy at Debenhams. It is therefore possible that rather than simply dying, our high street has evolved, and can be perceived as three different models. The physical local high street, the shopping centre, and the virtual high street or online marketplace. Which of these models survive and thrive will be dependent upon our consumer trends in the coming future. There is, however, one hugely important factor yet to be considered properly, and that is the coronavirus pandemic. Since the beginning of the year, the pandemic has affected the way we live our lives, both physically and mentally. It has placed businesses in financial hardship across the globe and impacted supply chains. Therefore, it is no surprise that to some, it is seen as being the final nail in the coffin for Arcadia and Debenhams, and most probably a few more to follow. Hopefully, in the coming weeks and months, the climate begins to improve, and our economic industry can begin to rebuild. However, not all may be doom and gloom. Amidst the uncertainty of the pandemic have arisen some innovative and trailblazing ideas. Businesses have come together to supply ventilators, brewery companies like BrewDog created hand sanitizers, and across the country we saw an array of companies diversifying their businesses or offering their expertise in a bid to come together. This is the human side of business, and the side we often forget, but also the side that we can be the most beneficial. We see pharmaceutical companies like AstraZeneca partnering with the University of Oxford to pioneer vaccines, and you begin to see the power that the UK economy wields. It is inevitable that our economy will return, but it may be in a more environmentally friendly, digital and diversified way than what we currently see. A true rebirth of our economy and high street. Well, that's enough from me, but before I leave you to have some peace and quiet finally, I'd like to pose a few food for thought questions, which you should consider your answer to as it may help you form your own opinion on current affairs. Firstly, do you agree that the high street has been set to fail for many years, or do you think there remains some hope and how? Secondly, do you think the government restrictions for COVID-19 were too severe? Did they strike the right balance between health and economic survival? And thirdly, if you were to design a high street model today, how would you do it? Would it be local, shopping centres in the city, or the virtual high street? And finally, did you enjoy the content? Is there anything we could do better? Could it be longer, shorter, or is there any topics you would like us to discuss? Feel free to contact us via our LinkedIn page for all suggestions, recommendations, and opinions. Well, thank you for listening. and I hope to see you again soon for our next podcast.